Christ has become to us, says the Apostle Paul, our righteousness, our holiness, wisdom from God, and redemption. Now, redemption is one of those words, it's one of those salvation words that we tend to lose amidst all the other salvation words like justification and propitiation and so forth. But redemption is really a big picture word like salvation. In fact, redemption is virtually a synonym for salvation, for they both basically mean to be delivered and to be set free. Justification, forgiveness, propitiation, adoption, and so forth, these are all components or aspects of how Jesus redeemed us and what he redeemed us unto. Now, the redemption and redeemer is one of the most interesting concepts in Scripture. Within the Bible, a redeemer is literally a kinsman. That's what the Hebrew word means. And to redeem means to act as a kinsman, to do the work of a kinsman, to fulfill the role of a kinsman. You may wonder, well, what does that tell us? Well, in the Bible, a kinsman is one who delivers you when you are helpless to deliver yourself. And when that kinsman delivers you, that is redemption. And the Bible speaks of the role of a kinsman redeemer in three different roles, depending on what type of helpless situation you have gotten yourself into. The first role is that of kinsman avenger, one who delivers you and what belongs to you when you have been taken captive and plundered. The kinsman redeemer is the strong man who is stronger than the strong man who plundered you and took you captive. The kinsman redeemer plunders the plunderer and sets you free. A biblical example would be Abraham, who defeated and plundered the kings who had taken Lot and his family and all their stuff captive in Genesis chapter 14. The second role of a kinsman redeemer is as a surety, that is, one who pays a debt that the debtor cannot pay. In the Old Testament, if an Israelite became a slave due to a debt that they could not pay, a kinsman could redeem them and obtain their freedom by paying their debt. And the third role of kinsman redeemer is as an advocate in the courtroom, an advocate in a legal setting. The kinsman is one who steps in and advocates for you when you cannot advocate for yourself. In Lamentations 3, Jeremiah praises God, O Lord, you have pleaded my soul's cause. You have redeemed my life. That's what he's talking about. A biblical example of the kinsman redeemer as advocate would be Boaz in the book of Ruth. He stepped in and he advocated in a legal setting for Naomi and Ruth. He called upon the next of kin to redeem Naomi's late husband's land. That is to pay off the debts on the land, to buy it back, to give it to Naomi, and to take care of Naomi and Ruth. Well, the next of kin declined because he figured out it would be against his personal financial interest and those of his heirs. It would have the effect of dissipating his estate. Boaz was a more distant kinsman, a more distant relative, but he stepped in and volunteered to be the kinsman redeemer. He paid back the debt on the land, he bought it back, he redeemed it, and he married Ruth and took Naomi into his home. And then as a result of Boaz acting as kinsman, both Boaz and Ruth end up being ancestors of David, the king, and eventually of the Lord Jesus Christ. So a kinsman redeemer can act as an avenger, a surety, and an advocate, or any combination thereof. But there are three requirements for someone to act as a kinsman redeemer. First of all, he must be kin. That is, he must be closely related. Second, he must be willing. And then third, he must be able. If it's a captive situation, he has to be stronger than the strong man so he can overcome him, deliver the captors, and plunder the strong man's stuff. If it's a financial situation, he has to have the ability to pay the debt that is owed. If it's a legal situation, he must be able to advocate and overturn the hostile legal judgment. And that brings us to us and to Jesus, our Redeemer. Our situation was one in which we were helpless in all three ways. We were in debt, we were captive, and we were under a legal death sentence. And it was all our own doing. Our captivity was not due to a kidnapping, but to a debt that we could not pay. And that debt was the debt of our own lives, for the wages of sin is death. Our lives and our freedom were forfeit, not because of a kidnapper, but because of the righteous consequences of Adam's decision and all of our own sinful decisions. We needed a kinsman redeemer in the worst way. The problem is no one was qualified, for all of our kinsmen were in the same boat with us, from Adam all the way on down. We had no one to help. We had no kinsman who could help. But then Jesus came, being born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit. He became our kin so that he might be our kinsman. It says in Hebrews 2:14, "Inasmuch as the children partook of flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise shared in the same." He became our kin. But just because someone is kin doesn't mean that they're willing to be our kinsman redeemer. But Jesus, amazingly, was willing. In Philippians 2, it says that Jesus, the Son, being in the form of God pre-incarnate, he did not consider equality with God something to be clutched, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. So Jesus was willing. He became our kin. But was he able? He was. He was stronger than the strong man Satan, which Jesus showed during his ministry by plundering Satan's stuff. He did that by casting out demons. In Matthew 12, Jesus said, "How can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man?" He has to be stronger than the strong man. Then he will plunder his house. And then Jesus said, "If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has surely come upon you." And Jesus paid our debt by going to the cross and entering into the grave for us and rising from the dead for us. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In all things he had to be made like his brethren to make propitiation for the sins of the people." All of that is what it means for Jesus to be our Redeemer. And all of that is why when Jesus ascended into heaven, as recorded in Revelation 5, all the saints in heaven sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth." Amen.